Welcome to the deep dive. So imagine you have this best friend, right? A friend who remembers the exact minute you drank your coffee last Tuesday, but they completely forgot your actual name.
Yeah, that is definitely not a great friend.
Right. Well, today we are looking at the pretty murky landscape of artificial intelligence memory. Specifically, we have this diagnostic roadmap from March 2026.
Right.
And it was written by the developer of an AI companion named Mio. And if you have ever used an AI and felt like you were just, you know, starting from scratch every single time you open the app, well, this is exactly the problem Mio's developers are trying to solve here.
It really is the hurdle that every developer is currently slamming into right now because, you know, we have this expectation of flawless robotic retention.
Yeah, totally.
Like you tell a computer a fact, it stores that fact on a hard drive, and then until the end of time, it just knows that fact.
Right, it's permanent.
Exactly. But as this roadmap so painfully details, if you apply that binary permanent storage model to a conversational agent, it just completely destroys the illusion of human connection.
Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine that best friend again. You text them, ha ha, to a meme they sent you. In a normal human interaction, that ha ha just evaporates instantly. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Right, it's just conversational filler.
Exactly. But for Mio, the current architecture was grabbing that haha, treating it as this sacred piece of lore and shoving it into a database while simultaneously overriding the fact that you have a sibling.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So the developer of this system realized a hard truth. Controlling what an AI says is only half the battle. The real magic, the thing that actually makes it a companion, is what it remembers about you.
The stakes outlined in this document are incredibly high for the product's survival. I mean, the developer flat out states that an AI companion that forgets key details after 200 messages isn't a companion at all.
Right.
They call it a chatbot with amnesia wearing a friendship bracelet.
That is such a harsh but accurate way to put it.
It really is. So to fix this, the developer laid out a massive overhaul of the system. They are moving from raw data hoarding to structured temporal awareness, and finally to something resembling, you know, simulated empathy.
Which sounds huge.
It is. But to appreciate the fix, you have to understand the fundamental physics of why the current system is collapsing.
And it is collapsing in truly embarrassing ways. We need to talk about the hyperactive extraction problem.
Oh, yeah. This is bad.
Right now, Mio's memory extraction runs every 10 messages. That is basically every 5 conversational rounds back and forth. The AI is sweeping up everything without any sense of narrative pacing.
Right, it's just grabbing constantly.
Yeah, it captures throwaway words like goodnight, okay, or a haha, and treats them as vital, permanent information.
What's fascinating here is that the failures aren't due to a lack of technology. I mean, the extraction mechanism works perfectly.
It's doing its job almost too well.
Exactly. The problem is that it treats the user's life as an append-only database. Because when an AI processes information, it operates within a context window. Think of it as the AI's short-term working memory, which is constrained by tokens.
Right.
Because calling the large language model API costs money per token, developers put a hard cap on how many memories can be loaded into that window at once.
Which makes sense financially.
Right. And for Mio, that cap is 200 memories per user.
Which sounds like a lot until you realize it's filling those 200 slots with garbage.
Yep.
Because once it extracts goodnight, it drops it into a system suffering from severe categorization chaos.
Yeah.
Currently, there are only 5 memory types available to the database. You have fact, personality, emotion, conversation, and relationship.
That is it.
That is the entire taxonomy.
It is woefully inadequate. I mean, a user's birthday, their morning coffee routine, and the fact that they just moved across the country all get dumped into the exact same bucket labeled fact.
Wow.
Yeah. The retrieval algorithm has no way to distinguish the weight of those events.
The developer actually compares it to organizing a massive library with 5 shells that are just labeled stuff.
That is exactly what it is.
But wait, it gets so much worse when you look at how those memories age. The system uses a universal 30-day half-life.
Right.
Every single memory decays at the exact same universal rate. So your actual name fades away just as fast as a casual acknowledgement of the weather.
Mechanically, this means the AI is constantly fighting its own decay function. And while it's forgetting who you are, it's simultaneously creating what the developer calls monster strings.
Oh, the monster strings. This is my absolute favorite disaster in the current setup.
It's so bad.
It really is. It's a profound flaw in the consolidator, which is the piece of code responsible for deduplicating memories. So if you tell it your name is Alex 3 times over a month, it shouldn't save it 3 times.
Obviously not.
But instead of merging them, The consolidator concatenates them. It just glues them together. So deep in the AI's brain, taking up precious token space, your file literally reads, user's name is Alex. User's name is Alex. User mentioned, their name is Alex.
It is the antithesis of optimization. You are burning expensive tokens to feed the AI redundant data. And the tragedy is there is fully functional code just sitting unused in the repository.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The document mentions an episode manager built into the code base to track conversation timeframes, and it has literally never been wired up.
That is wild.
And on top of that, the system lacks any conflict resolution. So if you say, I live in Seattle, and then a few months later you say, I moved to New York, the system doesn't update your status.
Wait, so it just stacks the New York house right on top of the Seattle house?
Yes.
It's literally a digital hoarder?
Precisely. And when it hits that hard cap of 200 memories, the hoarding becomes destructive. The system has to prune to make room for new input. But it prunes based entirely on a raw AI importance score assigned at the moment of extraction.
Meaning, it might throw away the fact that you have a sister just to keep an aggressively rated memory about your morning coffee routine.
Exactly.
It throws out your sibling's existence, but keeps three identical concatenated receipts of your name. When you look at all these failures compounding, it makes total sense why Mio currently sends unprompted messages that just say, what are you up to?
Yeah, it literally lacks the context to have anything specific. It is flying blind.
Right.
So how do you fix a digital hoarder maxing out its token limits? Well, the logical first step isn't to build shiny new features. You have to stop the bleeding.
Yeah, you have to filter out the noise.
Exactly. This initial triage is phase one. It's estimated at just a couple of days of low risk effort, and it is entirely about quality control.
Right. Because you can't build a smart AI on a foundation of user said haha. So the first move is simply slowing down. They're raising the extraction interval from 10 messages to 24 messages.
Which is a crucial adjustment to the LLM economics. By waiting 12 full conversational rounds, the AI actually is a window of context to pull from.
It's not just grabbing fragments anymore.
Exactly. It's looking at a complete thought. Fewer extractions mean dramatically fewer calls to the API, heavily reducing per-user memory costs.
But when it does extract, they're fixing the flow.
Mm.
Currently, extraction and consolidation run on completely independent schedules, meaning duplicate memories just kind of float around randomly.
Right.
The fix is to chain the consolidator to run immediately after extraction. Extract, then consolidate. Always in sequence. It's like immediately putting away your laundry instead of leaving it in a basket for a week.
I love that analogy. And that structural discipline is then paired with what they call the Dusserer 0.3 gate.
Oh, this is clever.
Yeah, so the AI was already rating the importance of things you say on a scale of 0 to 1, but the code was just lazily accepting everything regardless of the score.
Right.
The developer is putting a hard block in the code. If a memory doesn't hit an importance score of Dusserer 0.3, it is dropped entirely before storage.
It's like Marie Kondoing the AI's brain, but for a very technical reason.
Exactly.
An AI's context window is like a tiny backpack.
Whoa.
If you fill it with receipts of every time the user said, haha, which probably scores a 0.1, by the way, there's no room left for the heavy, important items like the user's relationship history.
Right.
If the memory doesn't hit that 0.3 threshold, keep it out of the backpack.
And for the items that do make it into the backpack, they are expanding the taxonomy, expanding from 5 to 8 memory types.
Let's list those out.
Sure. They are identity, preference, lifeent, emotion, relationship, shared, milestone, and routine.
So much better.
Right. This allows the system to finally differentiate. You run every morning is no longer a generic fact. It is a routine.
Which allows the retrieval system to pull it specifically when discussing mornings or health.
Exactly.
They're also killing the monster strings. They're implementing a keep best merge.
I know.
If memories overlap, it stops gluing them together. Instead, it keeps the one with the higher importance score. If there's a tie, it keeps the shorter one.
Because in prompt engineering, shorter means fewer tokens used.
Yep. User's name is Alex. User's name is Alex just becomes user's name is Alex.
Perfect. So once the garbage is cleared out and the data is clean, which finishes phase one, the system faces a much more complex challenge for phase two.
Right. Moving from cleanup to making it actually useful.
Yeah. How does it know which of these clean memories matter right now? That requires an understanding of time and relevance.
Which brings in type-specific decay.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that universal 30-day half-life that was erasing your name?
Yep. Awful.
Now, the roadmap specifies that memories fade at different rates to mimic human cognition. Identity and milestones last 365 days. preferences last 180 days. Relationship memories get 120 days. Life events get 90, emotions get 60, routines get 45, and shared experiences fade after just 30 days.
Right.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Is 30 days too short for a shared joke? Like, if I have a best friend, we might bring up an inside joke years later. Doesn't this decay schedule risk making the AI feel too transactional?
It's a fair question. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, human memory naturally reinforces what's important through repetition. Synapses strengthen when they are fired.
Okay, I see where you're going.
Yeah, if you and your AI don't ever reference that inside joke again, it should naturally fade, just like a fleeting moment with an acquaintance.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right, but if you keep bringing it up, the memory gets refreshed and the 30-day timer resets.
Which is how real friendships work.
Exactly. The developer explicitly notes that refreshing these memories causes a slight monthly cost increase in LLM calls, but the trade-off for this level of structural realism is entirely worth it.
It forces the relationship to actually be lived in. And speaking of living in the relationship, this is where they finally wake up the dead code.
Yes, the episode manager.
The episode manager is finally wired up. Memories are now assigned to specific conversational episodes, enabling temporal search.
This is the critical difference between semantic memory and episodic memory.
Okay, break that down for us.
Sure. So before, if you asked, remember last time we talked about apples, it would just do a keyword search for apples and pull up random facts?
Right.
With the episode manager, it groups the results by that specific past interaction. It remembers the event of the conversation, not just the data points within it.
It changes the internal logic from I know facts about you to I remember what we went through together.
Which is huge.
Yeah. Because it has this timeline, it enables proactive context.
Right.
Before Mio sends you an unprompted message now, it checks the time of day and scans its memory store.
Right.
Instead of a generic, what are you up to?
Yeah.
It asks, how did your interview go today?
And the depth of these proactive messages relies on the relationship closeness system that was established in a previous update, V0.1.4.
Right.
The system modulates its tone. Acquaintances get casual check-ins. Close companions get highly specific memory-informed follow-ups. They're even adding optional subtypes tags like first fight or flirting.
Which feels like it's laying the groundwork for the most complex part of this roadmap, phase three. Moving from structured data to actual intelligence. How does Mio learn to, you know, read the room?
By simulating empathy and logic simultaneously, the roadmap introduces mood-aware retrieval. The retrieval engine doesn't just look for keywords anymore. It looks at the user's current emotional state.
Right. If Mio detects that you were sad, it doesn't just pull up a bunch of sad memories to match your vibe.
No, definitely not.
It actively suppresses the sad ones in its database and boosts encouraging ones into the context window. The default state of the architecture is designed to be emotionally supportive, not emotionally amplifying.
Exactly. But the true leap to simulated intelligence is a feature called memory gap detection.
This is so cool.
It really is.
Yeah.
This is where the AI stops passively receiving data and starts actively tracking the narrative arcs of your life.
Let's walk through how this actually plays out. Say it's Monday and you tell Mio, I'm really nervous about my big presentation on Friday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday go by and you talk about other things, movies, dinner, whatever. Mio is storing all of this.
Mm.
But on Friday evening, the gap detection algorithm scans your file.
Right.
It sees the presentation life event from Monday, but detects a gap. There's no subsequent memory of you saying how it went.
Exactly. It identifies an unresolved loop. So on Friday night, it pulls that specific loose thread and proactively initiates a message. Hey, I know you were stressed. How did that presentation go today?
That is the behavior of a human friend.
It absolutely is.
And how it tracks those narrative arcs actually evolves depending on your relationship stage.
Yeah.
Early on, when you first download the app, Mio will algorithmically boost identity and shared memories to figure out who you are.
Right, the learning phase.
But months later, as the relationship deepens, the retrieval algorithm shifts to lean into milestones and your emotional history.
Mm.
It stops trying to learn about you and starts trying to relate to you.
And to manage this immense complexity without destroying the token budget, the developer details a brilliant technical pivot. They replace the flat memory dump with a structured memory.md document.
Why a markdown document specifically? Why not just standard code or raw text?
Because large language models are extensively trained on markdown formatted data from places like GitHub and web forums.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, markdown provides clear hierarchical structure headers, bullet points, bolded text, When you inject a clean, categorized markdown document into the AI system prompt, which is basically the hidden set of instructions that dictates its persona, the attention mechanisms within the LLM can parse the data much faster.
Wow.
It expends far fewer tokens trying to understand the context, making the entire interaction cheaper and dramatically reducing hallucinations.
So it organizes your life by categories: basic info, recent life, daily routine, so the AI can just skip straight to the relevant section.
Exactly.
Which brings us back to that terrifying 200 memory limit. They are keeping the 200 cap, but they are introducing protected pruning.
This is such a crucial fix.
Out of those 200 slots, 120 are now mathematically protected by category. 20 slots are permanently reserved for identity and 10 for milestones.
Yeah.
So your name can never, ever be deleted just to make room for a new memory of you saying, okay.
It creates an unshakable foundation for the persona. And to top it off, we finally get true conflict resolution.
Yes.
The vector database finally knows how to handle the Seattle versus New York problem.
So what does this all mean? When you move to New York, does it just overwrite Seattle?
No, and that's the genius of it. When a new memory clearly contradicts an old one, the older memory is flagged as superseded in the database, and its importance score is slashed by 50%.
So it doesn't delete it. It keeps the old address, because the AI understands it's still an objective fact that you used to live in Seattle.
Exactly.
It maintains your personal history, so it can ask you about your time in Washington later. It just applies a penalty. So your past stops competing with your current reality in the context window.
Yeah. This raises an important question, however, regarding the financial reality of running an AI like this.
Right, because empathy isn't free.
No, it's not. The developer explicitly notes that these advanced empathy features and gap detections roughly double the incremental compute cost compared to the previous phase.
Ouch.
But, and this is a massive but, because they triaged the system early on by expanding the extraction interval from 10 messages to 24, they saved a fortune in API calls.
Oh, right. Phase one pays for phase three.
Precisely. The developer points back to the unit economics detailed in the Mio manifesto to prove a fundamental engineering principle. Relentless optimization early on buys you the compute budget for empathy later.
That is so smart.
The total system cost remains a tiny fraction of their subscription revenue.
It's a masterclass in resource management. So looking at this whole journey, the ultimate goal of these three phases isn't to create artificial general intelligence. The bar is simply making you feel like you are talking to someone who is actually paying attention. It is transforming a leaky bucket of context fragments into a true companion. It's the difference between a machine that records your keystrokes and a presence that actually remembers your life.
It fundamentally changes our relationship with the machine, but, you know, stepping back from the code, it leaves us with a pretty profound paradox.
What do you mean?
Well, if developers are now hard-coding forgetfulness into AI to make it feel more human, specifically designing emotions to fade after 60 days to mimic human synaptic decay, could we eventually use these very AI architectures to study our own psychological ability to let go of grudges?
Oh, wow.
Or, conversely, by mimicking human memory so perfectly, with all its fading, decay, and blind spots, are we dooming AI to inherit our very human flaws? We are purposely breaking their perfect hard drives, intentionally teaching them how to forget, just so they can be a little more like us.
That is definitely something to think about. Thank you for joining us in this deep dive. Keep exploring the invisible systems shaping your digital worlds, and we'll see you next time.